You know, I kind of, it's not really a series or anything, but I feel like God's really moving in our, in the world. It's just not just in our church, not just in this city, but I believe that God is moving. Oh, I just looked at that doll up there. That's very creepy. I looked up and I just like scared me. I was like, whoa. Anyways, Jesus, you're here. Thank you. I've been preaching I've been preaching about our hearts. You know, I preached about wisdom and revelation, a spirit of wisdom and revelation. God wants us to really have a spirit that's within us that longs to seek the revelation of God, that longs to seek the heart of God. You know, we get caught up in our days, you know, social media, our work, our children, our families, our friends, and a lot of times, our spirit does not awaken to the things of God. It awakens to like, you know, a new movie coming out, or it awakens to like having dinner with, you know, friends and stuff like that, eating good food. But, you know, I believe that God is calling forth his bride, to set priorities straight, to make sure that we have a spirit, that seeks out the wisdom and the revelation of God more than anything else, for us to have, this propensity to hunger for him. And then, last week I preached on strongholds. You know, one of the ways that we can have a heart of wisdom and revelations is if we remove some of the strongholds that are in our hearts and in our minds, in our way of thinking. You know, strongholds are things that goes against the word of God for your life, right? You might have a stronghold in your life that says like, oh, I can't do this, you know, or I'm not that type of person, or I will always struggle with this. And you might have things in your mind, and it's a lie of the enemy that's sown into your consciousness that's keeping you from the fullness of what God has for you. Now today, you know, and like when, as I've been preaching this, it goes hand in hand with, you know, what we're seeing in the church and what we're seeing out in the world. I believe that God is mobilizing his church, he's mobilizing his believers, he's awakening the church at this hour. You know, there's a lot of, you know, just in the last couple of months, you know, we've been kind of getting together with pastors and people of different churches here in Busan, and we see that, you know, God is doing something here in Busan. God is awakening and equipping and mobilizing the bride of Christ, because we also see what's happening out in the world. When you look out into the world, right, you see a lot of there's war, right? There's a war that's happening. You know, there's talks of other wars that are happening. You know, our financial systems are kind of on the verge of collapse. I don't know if you guys have been keeping an eye on what's happening in America and in Europe, but there's like multiple banks have failed, right? This hasn't happened since 2008. The bank that I work for, right, in 2008, I used to work for a bank called Mount Washington Mutual. 2008, it went under. There's no longer bank. It's not my fault. Right? It's not because anything I did. Right? I stopped working for them a long time ago. But we haven't had a banking crisis like this since 2008. You know, and multiple banks have, you know, collapsed in America. There's a bank that's about to collapse in Europe. And we see, and when you really look at what's happening around the world, right? You know, and as I've been preaching this, it's easy, unless we have the right mindset, and unless we have the right heart, and unless we're seeing God correctly, and we're seeing him the way that we're supposed to see him, it can create a lot of fear. Now, I kind of go to other sources for news. I stopped really like looking at CNN and Fox News because I realized a lot of the news is kind of like, you know, has this like a bent. And so I've been going out there, you know, out into the world and trying to see what's actually happening. And even that, I feel like it's hard because, you know, the way that people talk and the way that people like give the news, they do it from such a fearful place, right? There's so much, they're trying to incite fear, so much fear in the hearts of people. And so if we're not careful, and if we don't have the right mindset, and if we don't have the right heart, it can easily lead us down a path where we start to fear, we start to, be afraid by what's happening. And so today I want to talk with you about, you know, I talked about this having the right heart, having the right mind, but I want to talk to you today about having the right understanding of God, right? Of having the right understanding of like God and his character. Right. When you go to any church, when you say this, right, when you say God is good, what do people say? One more time. God is good?
God is
Yeah, I feel like everybody knows that God is good, right? You know, like even like people that aren't very like, you know, Christian, and they just go to church on Easter and Christmas. When you go up there and say God is good, they'll say all the time, right? And I feel like it's a characteristic that a lot of Christians know that God is good. But today we want to talk about God's faithfulness, because I believe that you know, we can believe that God is good, but sometimes even if we do believe that God is good, sometimes we don't believe that God is faithful, right? You can believe in one and not the other. You can believe that God is good, but not all the time. That sometimes that God may not be good, or that sometimes He may not be good to you, because you're seeing all of these things happen in our lives, in your lives. You see circumstances, you see difficulties, you see trials, you see things that are happening around the world. There's people in America that lost like hundreds of thousands of dollars, like because of you know, like there's people. It happened in California, it's the Silicon Valley Bank. These are people that are like really rich, right? Really rich people that were investing in this bank because it's a tech, all these tech firms and, you know, venture capitalists and all these people. And then they saw like huge chunks of their money just like vanish and go away, right? Or there's insurance, but it can't cover it all. So they're losing all this money. And so like when these things happen in your life, when you have circumstances in your life that you don't see, like they're not going the way that you want it to go, it's easy to think that, oh, God is good, but you may not necessarily believe that God is faithful. You know, you might think that like God is good, but He's not good to me now, right? He's not being good to me. He's not being faithful to me now. Sometimes, you know, we look at God's faithfulness based on man's understanding of faithfulness. And let's face it, we live in a world where faithfulness is like is more of a concept than reality, right? You don't really see true faithfulness out in the world. You know, 50% of people, and these are Christians that are all lumped up inside, you know, this, all the people that are getting married around the world, right? Around 50% of the people that committed to have a faithful and lasting marriage with their spouse, right? They end up in divorce, right? When we live in a world where we're getting harder and harder to trust people, it's hard to trust companies, it's hard to trust the news, it's even hard to trust our government. And some of you guys have been truly hurt by people, your friends, maybe even family members, and putting trust and faith in people can be difficult, you know, because we understand, Mina and I, we've been hurt by people, you know, we've been in ministry for 11 years now, right? This is our 12th year of ministry, going to be starting in April, and April, Mina wants to get a cake, because I think on our second year we got a cake, and so she wants to order a cake to celebrate our 12th year. But we've been doing this for 12 years, and throughout the years, we've been hurt by many people. A lot of people have hurt us, broken our hearts, and so we understand. And for a while, it was really hard for us to trust people. It was really hard for us to put faith in people. Because, you know, we live in a broken and we live in a broken world with broken promises. And it's hard to find trustworthiness or faithfulness in the world. You know, some of you guys might have been hurt by a church. Some of you guys might have been even hurt by your parents. Your parents are the one people that you are, that God puts over you to take care of you and to shepherd you and to build you up. And you might have actually been hurt and or even abused by, you know, your parents. And so it must be, I can't imagine how hard it is for you guys, for some people to trust people, right? And it's understandable. We live in a world where trust is a rare commodity. Right? Faithfulness is a rare commodity. But when we approach God, and when we approach as believers, as Christians that have the Spirit of God within us, we put our faith in Jesus, we have to approach Him with the understanding that God is absolutely faithful. He is faithful. He is trustworthy. The word faithful in Hebrew means to support, right? Now, support. You know, like when earlier today I sat in that chair next to Sunny, right? The wooden chair, right? And I was having a conversation and it started to creak, you know, crack, and I could feel like, oh no, this is an antique chair and it's about to break. That thought really crossed my mind because it's wood and it's really old, and I'm probably sure it cannot support my weight, right? That's what faithfulness is. That chair, if I sit in it long enough, it's not going to be faithful to me, right? I'll probably like fall down, it'll break, you know? The word in Hebrew, it means to support, and it's to bear weight, right? And the Bible says that God is a God of faithfulness. He is a faithful God. that he is absolutely faithful. He is absolutely trustworthy. Is this working? Okay. All right. That he's absolutely trustworthy. You know, that we can absolutely lean on him, that he can absolutely bear our weight, that we can trust and lean on him, that his promises are true. And we can attribute to him a human understanding of faithfulness because God is perfectly faithful. God is perfect in everything, and he is perfect in his faithfulness. And he can be depended on, he can be trusted on 100% of our lives. We can put our faith in him. You know, he is faithful because he says that he is faithful. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, I know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and him and can and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, right? He is faithful. Our God is a faithful God, is a God that can be trusted in always. You know, Jeremiah is considered to have written the book of Lamentations, and Lamentations is a book, he's like the reluctant lone prophet. They call him the weeping prophet because he's the prophet that, you know, prophesied the fall of Jerusalem and the fall of Judah, you know, into captivity. And you see him, you know, in Lamentations, he's lamenting and he's grieving, right? He's lamenting and he's mourning the loss, the destruction of his kingdom, of his nation, of his people. He's crying out and he's lamenting about the sorrow of Jerusalem falling and the people being, you know, like carried off into captivity. And he's crying out. And his beloved city has been ransacked and he's mourning. And even in the midst of this grieving, he cries out, you know, like as he is grieving this, it's like a funeral dirge, right? He's basically having a funeral for his nation. In the midst of this, he says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. He says, great is your faithfulness, right? Because as he is able to understand the weight of God and his glory and the word of God, God is declaring, he's giving them these prophetic understanding of who he is. He's saying, in spite of all of this, right, despite of what's happening, like imagine, like Korea is, like, you know, a lot of you guys aren't Korean. There's only a few of us that are really Korean here, right here, and Josh, right, you know, like, I'm not putting you guys down or anything, but you know, if something happens, you guys can go back to your countries. But you know, if something happens, we have to stay here, right? Koreans, right? Imagine the Korea is ransacked and we're fallen and we get taken over by another country, right? And like, you know, our life becomes super hard. And in the midst of this, right, God reveals himself to us and we can cry out, great is your faithfulness, right? And that's kind of the image that we get with Jeremiah in Lamentations. And it's this image that despite what's happening, despite what we see in the natural, great is your faithfulness. And I believe that that's the heart that God wants for his people. God wants us to have a heart because, you know, as we get closer to Jesus coming back, right? It's not supposed to, in my theology and in my understanding, not supposed to really get better, but it's supposed to get worse. And as it gets worse, we're supposed to be the bride that becomes the pure, like unblemished, the spotless bride of Christ that's able to stand, saying, despite what is happening around the world and despite what is happening in our circumstances, great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. God is faithful. And he does what he says. He does not lie or he does not go against himself. No matter how terrible or difficult our situation is, God is faithful. His word is faithful and can be trusted. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not man that he should lie or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? Hebrews 6:18, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. God is faithful. He will do what he has promised to do. God is absolutely trustworthy in everything that he said. You know, I love my kids. I love my kids and I try my best to be like, you know, faithful to them and give them, you know, make promises with them that I keep. But you know, in the how many years that Ezra and Ethan have been alive, I've broken promises many times, right? I've told them, like, okay, we'll go there. And then we're on our way. Like, oh, I'm too tired. No, we're not going to go there. Right? But our God is not like that. Our God is not Caleb Lee, right? He's perfect in his faithfulness. We have to understand that, right? We can't attribute human, like, characteristics to God as if, like, oh, God wants to be faithful, but he can't, right? He wants to be faithful, but just, no, God is perfectly faithful. Every promise that he has made in the word of God, he will keep it, right? And so today, we're gonna look at God's faithfulness, and we're gonna look at a passage from 2 Timothy. If you guys have your Bibles, you guys can open to 2 Timothy 2. And so, you know, Paul's at the end of his journeys. He is in prison, most likely in Rome, and he's writing probably his last letter. He writes to his faithful son in the faith, Timothy, right? Good old Tim. And when we read Paul's words, we see a man who is ready to die. Right? He's ready to die. Right? In chapter 4, it says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." So Paul's ready. Right, he knows that he's about to be executed. He knows that his earthly days are numbered. Right, but he's not a man that's feeling sorry for himself, nor someone who is afraid to die, but one even till the end is enduring and keeping the faith. He's had like this crazy life. He says that he's been beaten like many times. There's this whole passage in the Bible where he talks about how he's been beaten, he's been betrayed, he's been shipwrecked multiple times. He's been beaten again, left for dead in prison, in shackles, and he's had a rough and difficult life of persecution, and yet he suffered for Christ. He's been persecuted like no one else. But all of this has led him to this final moment. He's locked up in prison. He's about to die. And yet he is bold. And he's confident. And he's writing this to his son in the faith, who is probably a bit scared and nervous, right? Timothy, he gets his letter. He knows that Paul's in prison. And he's about to die. And Paul has to reassure Tim. In chapter 1, it says, "For God has given us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control." He's like, don't be afraid. Right? Timothy, don't be afraid. Right? I know when you look out into the world, things are getting a little crazy. Persecution is rampant, right? People are dying for the faith. But he's reassuring him, and he reassures him with this passage in 2 Timothy 2, it's verses 8 through 13. It says, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." So Paul's saying, Tim, it's not going to be easy, right? This life that you have, this life of faith that is in front of you, is not going to be easy. It's not all about going to be like, rainbows and unicorns and, meadows and flowers where you're going to run through. It's going to have times of trouble. It's going to have times of persecution. It's going to have times of tribulation. There will be suffering. And then Paul mentions this saying, right? This saying, and in the Bible, there's five of these trustworthy or faithful sayings in Paul's his epistles. There's three in 1 Timothy, there's one here in 2 Timothy, and one in the book of Titus. And these are trustworthy sayings that are supposedly, they were hymns. Because if you look in the Bible, this section right here, that what he just, it's like quoted as if it's like coming from like a, he's quoting something. It's supposedly like a hymn or a creed that the early believers like developed to hold fast to the gospel, to remind them of what the gospel is. And maybe it was a hymn, maybe it was a mantra, but he's saying this can be trusted in. You can have faith in this, right? You can have, like Tim, you can trust, you can believe in this, right? And it says, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, he will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny him. And if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Paul's talking about God's faithfulness, right? Paul telling Tim the truth about God that he can hold fast to, so that when things don't look so good, when things out there in the world start to look difficult, they're going through suffering, they're going through times of trials, right? He's in prison for the faith, right? Things aren't going the way that he thought it would go, or maybe it is, and it's just really difficult. And he says, you can have faith in this. You can believe in this. This, you can put your hopes and faith in. This can be trusted. You can put your faith in this. And when we look at this saying, it talks about God's faithfulness. And we see that each part talks about an aspect of God's faithfulness. Right? Each part talks about a part of how God is faithful. So let's look at this mantra or this creed that Paul tells to Timothy here in 2 Timothy. And it says, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. And he's talking about that God is faithful in our salvation. Paul uses this saying many times. In Romans 6:3, it says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Right? Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Now, Philippians 1:21 says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul is saying that when we put our faith in Christ and we die to our old self, God is faithful in saving us. He is faithful in our salvation. When we truly put our faith in him, God is faithful in conquering death on our behalf. Because Jesus has already done it. He is faithful to his word. You know, he's facing death. And you can feel it, right? Paul's in prison, he's facing death. And he's telling Timothy, put your faith in this. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, death has no power over you. Death has no power over you. It's just your earthly body, right? Paul knew this. Paul knew that it was just his earthly body. And God is faithful in bringing you into life with him. God is faithful in our salvation. God is faithful in his ability to save you. He can absolutely be trusted to save us. And I want to ask you, is this real? Right? Is this really, like, can I really believe? Can you really believe this? And the Bible tells us that he is faithful in his word. Right? A lot of people out there is like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if this can be, but this is absolutely, God can be trusted. He is faithful in our salvation. If we put our faith in Jesus Christ, if we put our trust in Jesus, he is faithful to save us. He is mighty to save. So the first one is that he's faithful in our salvation. He's faithful to save. And the next one is that God is, if we endure, we will also reign with him. And it says that God is faithful in our suffering. If we endure, when we endure the suffering of this world for his sake, it's not for nothing. The difficulties that you go through as a believer, the trials that you have, the sorrow that you experience, everything a part of life that is difficult, that is challenging, and you're just like, God, like, you know, like, you know, can this cup pass from me? You know, we have our struggles, we have our difficulties. And the word of God says that God is faithful in our suffering. Jesus said that there will be suffering, there will be tribulation, there will be persecution, there will be pain, but it's not for nothing. If we endure, we will reign with him. Our suffering is there to build us up, to strengthen us, that in our suffering we can rule and reign with him. He is faithful in our suffering. He's faithful in his discipline. You know, the Bible says that God disciplines the ones he loves. He doesn't, you know, like, I don't discipline kids in the black playground, you know, that I don't know, right? People think I'm a crazy person, right? Who do I discipline? I discipline my kids. Why? Because I love them. Because if I don't discipline my kids, they're going to be people that no one will like. And I tell this many times to Ethan. It's like, Ethan, if we don't discipline you, right, you're not going to have the character, and you're not going to be the type of people that People want to be around, right? We need to discipline you, and we do it because we love you. He doesn't understand that at times. When he gets into trouble, or when I have to, like, you know, discipline him, he doesn't understand that. But we know as adults that we discipline the ones we love, and then God disciplines the ones he loves. It's not just to see us suffer. No. Right? He is faithful, and he is good. And it's for your good. And God is saying, if we endure, if we, you know, persevere, if we fight the good fight, God is faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful to reward those he loves. It's like a marathon. You run this long marathon, and you go through it all, and at the end, all you see is the finish line, and that's it. There's nothing, right? You just walk home, right? But God is not like that. You know, he says that if you endure, by what will we do? He says we will reign with him. Who reigns? Do you know who reigns? Right? Not rain, like rain falling, or, you know, like who reigns, right? Kings reign, right? Right? Like royalty reigns, right? It's not just like peasants don't reign, right? Right? It's the royal, like the monarchy, it's the royal people that reign, right? And it says that there is a prize at the end of our endurance, us enduring and fighting and going all, like continuing to suffer and endure for Jesus. We will reign with him. Right? Some of you are saying, like, well, being a Christian is hard. Yes, Jesus said it would be hard. It's about enduring. One of the fruit of the Spirit is long suffering, right? Long suffering. Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm long suffering. But it's about resisting the devil. It's about resisting temptation. It's about holding on to faith despite what we see in the natural, despite what we see in the world. And so God is faithful in our suffering. God recognizes and he's ordained suffering. That sounds really mean, right? That sounds like God is not a God of love. No, he's a God of love because he ordains suffering so that we can become the people that God has called us to be. And so he's faithful in our suffering. Let me go back. And then in Hebrews 3:14, it says, "For we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end." Colossians 1:22, it says, "He who has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Indeed, if you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard." Right? If we endured. And in the midst of our enduring, we have to know that God is faithful. He is faithful in our suffering, in our enduring, in our discipline, and we will reign with him. It's not just it's not emptiness at the end of the marathon. God is saying, it's not just about something he gives us. It's about something we are, right? Would you rather get something from God or be something with God? That's the difference between sometimes what we want from God and what God wants for us. God is saying be, and we're saying like we want to have, we want to do these things, but God is saying be. That we will reign with him. We will be people that reign with God, will reign with Christ. So Paul is saying God is faithful in death because we will live with him, and he is faithful in our suffering as you endure for his sake. And endure on this earth, we will reign with him. And then the third, it says, if God is faithful, if we deny him, he also will deny us. And God is faithful in his judgment and his wrath. Just like God's grace is real and perfect, so is God's judgment and his wrath. God is faithful in his judgment. There's a day that is coming, and we see this all throughout the gospel. So many of Jesus' parables was this, right? It's like the goats and the sheep and, you know, like the weeds and the wheat and all of these things where God makes this separation at the time of harvest. There is a day that is coming where Jesus will return, right? Bet on that. And those that have denied him, have not put their faith in him as Lord and Savior, as a sacrifice and atonement for our sins, they will not partake right? In the oneness and in the unity that we have in Christ Jesus. For those that have denied them, Jesus is not coming back to save everyone. Some, there's a whole denomination, there's actually a whole religion of people out there that believe that when Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to save everyone. That's not what the Bible says. Right? He's not coming back to save everyone. He's not coming back to judge on a curve, right? Not everybody can pass with a D minus, right? No, there's a definite line in the sand. God has drawn a line in the sand and says, I'm coming back. And if you're on this side of the line, you'll be with me. But if you're not on this side of the line, I do not know you. Earlier in Deuteronomy 7:9, I read it earlier, and it says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Well, the very next verse 10, it says, and repays to their face those who hate him. By destroying them, he will not be slack with one who hates him. He will repay him to his face. We have to understand that God is faithful in his judgment. And Jesus and Paul, to both, talk about the fact that some people, some of these people will believe and will think that they're believers, right? Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those, the ones who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, right? Paul says, 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power, right? We have to understand that God is a God who saves, is also a God who will judge. And so there's that question. Do you know him? Are you on the right side of eternity? Because God is faithful in his judgment. And this is a warning. Do you truly know him? Is he Lord or just a concept in your mind? Have you confessed with just your lips or have you put your hope in him in your heart? Because God is faithful. He's a faithful God, and he is faithful in his judgment, and he's faithful in his wrath. And some of you guys may be thinking, oh, that doesn't seem like a loving God. No, it's absolutely an aspect of his love, is his judgment and his wrath. Maybe it's time for you to do what Paul says. Paul says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2:12. Time to take your salvation seriously. Take your faith seriously. And so we know that God is faithful in his judgment. And then the last part of that saying, it says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This last statement is different than the first three. It's not as straightforward. It says, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And there's different ways that, you know, there's two different ways that, you know, pastors and theologians interpret this passage, and it's, and how you interpret the word faithless. And the Greek is called apostio, and it can be translated into two different ways. One way is to see it as being faithless, as in not having a belief. And if we look at it in this way, the statement makes sense, and it's true, and God remains faithful. If you are faithless without belief, right? If I'm a non-believer and I don't have belief, God will be faithful still, because God cannot deny himself. God can't contradict himself. Meaning if you do not have faith, God will continue to be faithful to himself, because God is all about God, his glory, and he can't sweep, you know, your sin under the rug. And so he will remain faithful to himself. Now, that's the interpretation, that interpretation makes sense, and if that word is interpreted in that way, it's absolutely true that God still remains faithful despite you not having faith in him. If you are without faith in Jesus Christ, God will continue to be faithful to himself, to who he is, right? Now, another way to interpret that word is unfaithful, meaning to betray a trust as disobedience, right? Then this passage also makes sense and is true, and God is faithful, that even if we are unfaithful, God is faithful because he can't deny himself. He cannot deny who he is. For me, I hold to the second interpretation, right? That God is faithful in our unfaithfulness because it reflects the God of the gospel. The gospel isn't just in the New Testament, right? It's all over the Old Testament as well. We think that God somewhere changed between the Old and the New Testament. Like, God was like, you know, he was like this crazy God in the Old Testament, killing all these people and like, you know, and then he went to therapy and then he's the God of the New Testament. He's in control of his emotions. No, that's not God. God never changes. The same God of the New Covenant of the Gospel and what we see in Jesus is the same God that we saw in the Old Testament. We see the gospel all over the Old Testament if you just kind of read it correctly. He's the God of covenant that makes a promise with his people and continues to be faithful to them even in their disobedience, even in their idolatry, even in their discipline, even in their punishment. He remains faithful. He doesn't go, "I'm changing my mind, guys. I'm going to break this promise I made with Abraham. I'm sick of you guys. I'm sick of you, seeing you guys going after other gods. I can't do this anymore, right? I want to break up. I want a divorce, right? It's not me, it's you, right?" And God will never say that to us. You know, God will never say, "You are no longer my people." Because God remains faithful because that is who God is. He is the God of Hosea, a holy man who is called by God to marry a whore. God calls Hosea to marry Gomer and have children with her, and God has him do this as a representation of God's relationship with his people who are going after other gods. And after Hosea marries Gomer and has children with her, Gomer goes back to her old life, right? A life of adultery and whoredom. And Hosea finds her in this auctioning box that she ain't auctioned off, right? You know? And then he pays this hefty amount to buy her back. That's the gospel, right? That's the Old Testament. That's the heart of the gospel, right? He's the God of the gospel. And that's why we were still sinners, God sent his son to die and pay the punishment for our sins so that we would have life with him. It's a God that says it doesn't matter what you did or how you lived. If you turn to me, if you repent and put your faith in me, in Jesus, I will be faithful. It's one of the most important passages, I believe, in the Bible. And it's 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful. There's no condition where God is going to give up on you. He will never say, "What did you do? You did what?" Right? I've said that to Ethan many times. "What did you do?" Right? He would like make this huge mess. I'd be like, "What did you do?" God can't. He's never going to do that. There's no condition where God's going to give up. He's going to say, "Oh," he's never going to be like, "Oh, I've had it with you, Caleb. That's the last straw," right? He's faithful in our unfaithfulness, in our faithlessness. God is faithful because he cannot deny himself. He cannot stop being faithful to his word. Now, this isn't a license to sin because he didn't, you know, give us that warning. He did give us that warning. If you deny me, I will deny you. And some of those denied will have the appearance of being believers. Some of them are going to think that they're believers. And in the end, they're going to realize, oh, what's going on? When God says, if you are faithless, he remains faithful, it's because he cannot deny himself. It's not a license to sin, but an invitation to turn to him because he is faithful. Some of them, you know, like there's people out there that look to Jesus in such a superficial way, in such a shallow manner. And if we really look at their lives and if we really examine their hearts, like a lot of people, you know, I fear for them that they will be some of the people that Jesus talks about. It's like in the last day, I did not know you. But he's saying that if you turn to me and if you put your faith in me, I will be faithful to forgive you and cleanse you and make you right before me. But not only is he faithful in accepting you, right? He's faithful in forming and sanctifying you. Right? It says in Philippians 1:6, be confident of this, that he who began a work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 32:40, I will make with them an everlasting covenant that I will not turn away from doing good to them, and I will put the fear of me in their hearts that they may not turn from me. I will rejoice in doing them good, and I will plant them in this land in faithfulness with all my heart and all my soul. For thus says the Lord, just as I have brought all this great disaster upon this people, so I will bring upon them all the good that I promised them. This is after the people of Israel have been so wicked that God gave them to be conquered and exiled. Even after so much unfaithfulness, God says, I will put fear of me in their hearts. And he's like, I will never stop loving them. He is faithful. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, he is faithful. There's going to be times where we feel like we have no faith. There's going to be times where we feel faithless. But God is faithful. If we turn to him, if we endure with him, because every promise that God has given us in his word, he is faithful to fulfill. Because God cannot go against himself. God is faithful. He cannot not be faithful. I want to close with this verse by Psalm 145:13. And it encapsulates like my sermon in this one short verse is, the Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. Church, God is seeking a generation of people that will, despite what they see in the news, despite what they see happening around them in their circumstance, despite the darkness that they see out in the world, God is raising up people that will trust in his faithfulness. God wants us to be firm in this understanding, firm in knowing that God is a faithful God, that he can be trusted, that he is faithful despite what is happening, despite what we see, despite whatever mistakes that we might have made. He remains faithful if we put our hope and trust in him. A God is a God that can be trusted. Like Paul did to Timothy, God is doing this for us. God is saying, This aspect about me, you can trust me. You can trust me. If you, out of all of the things in this world, everything will eventually let you down. Right? Everything in this world eventually will go away. Everything in this world eventually will fall. Even our bodies, right? We can take care of our bodies and only eat like flaxseed and chia seeds and brown rice and, you know, like, you know, never eat ice cream and eat lean cuts of meat or whatever. Be a vegan or whatever for the rest of our lives. Eat healthy. Exercise every day. Right? Like Josh, get all jacked and you know, like run marathons and climb mountains. You can be the most healthy person, you know, in the world. Our bodies will let us down. Right? Eventually, everything will let us down. The only one that the word of God says is faithful until the end is God. God is the only one that we can trust in for an eternity. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. And God is raising up a people that will believe this more than what they see and what they experience. And what they've done and the conditions of their lives, that this will be the mantra that we live on and that we base our lives on. Let's all stand up and let's close and pray. Father God, we thank you that you truly are faithful, that you are faithful even till the very end. You are faithful unto eternity. You can and you will never let us down. That we can put our hopes in you for everything in you. Your promises are yes and amen. There's nothing, there is no promise that you cannot keep. And there is no word that you will not fulfill. What you have spoken will come to pass. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful in our salvation. You are faithful in our suffering. You're faithful even in your judgment. And even despite our faithlessness at times, God, despite us being faithless and being disobedient and falling away at times, Lord, you remain faithful. If we put our faith in you, you say that you are a faithful God and we can trust in you. Lord, help us to be people that continue to always put our faith and our trust in you. May we never, Lord, look to this world for stability and security. Lord, help us to be people that of the end times, God. Help us to be equipped and empowered to be people of the end times, that we know as we look out into the world and we see the world, it being the world and coming to the condition that the world will eventually become. Help us to be people that remain steadfast in knowing that you are a faithful God. That you are faithful in all that you do. And help us to be people of trust. Help us to put our trust and our hope in you. We thank you, God. We love you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace as you go forth looking to our God who is faithful to eternity, who is with us and who will never let us down. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.